The little boy is really a yid who is not thinking sometimes. And he thinks, you know what we do in Elul? We blow the shofar, and that's all we have to do, and we'll blow the shofar. The shofar makes all the avodas to go away. It makes the tshuva to take away all the avodas, and everything is fine. Now, fire is like the avodas that wrecks everything up and makes a lot of trouble. Now, what puts out the fire? The shofar? What gets rid of the avodas? The shofar?
Yes.
No. When God is Torah, that's right. You know what Torah is like? Torah is like water. The avodas are like the fire. What makes fire go out? Water. What makes avodas to go away? What makes avodas to go away? Learning a lot of Torah, doing a lot of mitzvahs, and doing tshuva. But not the shofar. So the shofar means get busy, but just by blowing the shofar, that's not enough. Now when the Baal Shem Tov was young, a young man, he had a job that he took the kiddies to yeshiva. Like I told you, there was no bus at that time. So he would go in the morning, and he would go outside Shmuley's house. Shmuley, come to yeshiva. And Shmuley would come running out from his house with his lunch, and with his snacky, and with his sefer, and with his sweater. And the Baal Shem Tov would take his hentale, and he would walk Shmuley until Beryl's house. And outside Beryl's house, Berele, come to yeshiva to learn, and come to cheder. And Berele, his galofin, he came out with his snack and with his little sefer, and with his little lunch in his hand. And the Baal Shem Tov would hold Berele's hand, and Shmuley's hand, until they went to Chaim's house, and Chaim would come out with his lunch. And now he only got two hands, so he's going to hold on to one of the other boys' hands. So all the boys are walking together to yeshiva, to cheder, and the Baal Shem Tov was leading them to, you know, in case something would happen. Now, the mommy didn't want to send the kids by themselves. Even in those days, the mommy didn't want the boy to walk far away by themselves. And certainly nowadays, boys shouldn't walk just by themselves. It's better to go together with friends, especially in these neighborhoods. Because in those days, it could be a goy, or a bear, or some kind of a wild animal could come, and mommy didn't want the boy to walk by himself. So Baal Shem Tov took them, and they go to the cheder, and in the afternoon he picks them up to bring them home, or in the evening, and he drops them off. So people thought that Baal Shem Tov is just a regular person, and nothing special. But, you know, like Rabbi Schloss said by the assembly, Chai Elul means Chais, Lebedik. What is a person who is Lebedik? Happy or sad?
Happy.
When you're happy, you learn more. When you're happy, you learn better. When you're happy, you do more mitzvahs. When you're happy, you have Chais, you're Lebedik. Somebody says, come on, let's learn. Sure, I want to learn. I love to learn. Not a person that says, oh, I don't feel like doing anything. A sad person can love, doesn't feel like doing anything. So Chai is also happy. Now the Baal Shem Tov knew that if these boys go to the yeshiva happy, they're going to learn good the whole day. And on the way to yeshiva, they would sing, and they would be happy. And the Baal Shem Tov would tell them how lucky they are to go learn in the cheder with their Rebbe, and what a big schus to be in yeshiva the whole day close to Hashem in the Halakha Torah. And on the way back, he would also speak to them nice, and they would sing, and they would come home so happy, and in the house they would behave, because the Baal Shem Tov would tell them they should behave themselves and have kibud av aim, and when mommy says do something, they shouldn't fetch, they shouldn't put up a fuss. they should be happy and do it the first time and give mommy a lot of nachas and tati. And of course, by the night time, when the Baal Shem Tov came to the shul, he would learn Torah in secret. And when other people went to sleep, he'd wake up and learn Torah the whole night, because he was a hidden tzaddik, a tzaddik nister. Only later on, people found out that he was really a big tzaddik. And you know what else the Baal Shem Tov would do? He would ask questions to people, to the boys, or to big people. He would go up and say, the Baal Shem Tov would walk up to a person in the street and say, Rabbi Yid, what's machstu? How are you? And the Yid would say, Baruch Hashem. Now, when he said Baruch Hashem, the Baal Shem Tov would be very happy, because when a Yid says Baruch Hashem, Hashem loves it. Hashem gets a big chayas when a Yid says Baruch Hashem, we're thanking Hashem. And of course, the kinnalach, he would say, how do you feel this morning? They said, Baruch Hashem. And all of these things put together was going up into Gan Eden. Because whenever we do a mitzvah, or whenever a child is happy and singing the gunim and learning good in yeshiva, a big light goes up to Gan Eden. And all of a sudden, in Gan Eden is going up a big light, a helical light, and the malachim were dancing to the light. Look! Such a beautiful light from all the kinnalach and the Baal Shem Tov. But nearby to Gan Eden, somebody was trying to sleep and he was being disturbed by the light. Hey, I want to sleep and I can't sleep. The light, it's in my eyes, it's too bright. I don't want to look at this light. And the malachim are making too much noise. And he starts screaming, Malachim, be quiet. Don't make no noise. And shut off this light. I want to go to sleep. Don't disturb me. And the Malachim called out, hey, look who's there, the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara. He's being disturbed by our big dance and our big singing Gan Eden. But we're not going to stop, because this is all Kedusha. You want to go sleep? Go sleep somewhere else. How can you sleep anyway if there's so many Torah mitzvahs to do? And he says, shut off that light. Oh, we don't have the light here. The light's coming from the world. Well, it should be shut off from the world. I don't want to look at it. I want to sleep. Where is it coming from anyway? And they said, the Baal Shem Tov and the kinnalach. And the Yetzer Hara came down to have a look. What's all this light? What's all this noise coming from? And he saw the Baal Shem Tov singing with the kinnalach and doing mitzvahs and saying Baruch Hashem, and lights are coming and songs are coming and dancings are coming from the Gan Eden. And the Yetzer Hara says, I want to stop this. Oh, I know how to turn off the lights and turn off all the nigunim, and it's going to be quiet, no lights. I'll stop the Baal Shem Tov and the kinnalach, and they won't go to Cheder anymore. They'll stay home. Hey, that's what I'll do. If they don't even go to the Cheder, if they stay home and they don't go out to the Cheder, they won't sing, they won't say Baruch Hashem, they won't do no mitzvahs, they won't go nachas the tati and mami, they won't learn any psukim, they wouldn't say tilim and davim, they wouldn't give tzedakah, and then it's going to be quiet, I can sleep, and there will be no disturbing me. But how will I stop from going to cheder? Well, the Yetzer Hara got an idea. The Yetzer Hara is a tricky, tricky pickle, and he can make himself into many different costumes. But they're not costumes, they look real. They look real. In fact, they are real, but inside is not just an animal, it's a Yetzer Hara. Or a person. Inside the person could be a Yetzer Hara. A Yetzer Hara Malach. And the Yetzer Hara decided he's going to make himself to be a very scary, big, black bear who's going to go out in the forest
and he's going to scare the Baal Shem Tev and scare the kids, and they'll be so scared they'll never go to Cheder. And so Kinalach, the next day, as the kiddies were walking home and it's getting dark, and the kiddies are walking home and they're singing a niggin, and they're having such a nice time with the Baal Shem Tev, and all of a sudden they hear in the forest a very scary sound. What's that? The Baal Shem Tev said, don't worry, just a sound. We don't have to be afraid. Just the sound of an animal in the forest. You're going to hear again. And the kiddies say, oh, we're so scared. It's such a scary sound. It sounds like a big bear. They see these two big yellow eyes in the darkness looking at them. And they got scared. And the Baal Shem Tov says, I'm not scared. And they said, why aren't you scared? Baal Shem Tov says, my tati, before he died, he called me to his bed and he said, Yisroelek, you don't have to be afraid of anyone in the whole world, only one, and that's Hashem. My father said, Yisroelek, you only have to be afraid in the whole world of one, and that's Hashem, because everything else in the whole world comes from Hashem. What do you have to be afraid of if Hashem is in charge and Hashem is making everything happen and everything from Hashem is good? So only be afraid from Hashem, because anything else is from Hashem. And so the Baal Shem Tov says, this bear is also from Hashem. We don't have to be scared. But remember, the Baal Shem Tov was a man and he was a tzaddik, and the Kinalach were only Kinalach. And all of a sudden, the biggest, blackest, meanest, ugliest looking bear jumped out from the trees and starts to chase the kids and make scary growling sounds, bear sounds. And the kiddies ran home fast. Mommy! Mommy! Tati! And they came running into the house crying. And they go under their bed, hiding. What's wrong, Shmuley? What's wrong, Chaim? What's wrong, Gershon? What happened? And they start screaming about the bear in the forest. And the mommy has to hold them for a long time till they calm down and finally give them the supper and put them in pajamas and they go shluffy. But the next morning, Kinalach, when the Baal Shem Tov went to pick them up, Barale, come to Cheder. Nobody came running out. I'm too scared. I don't want to go. I'm afraid of the bear. And Baal Shem Tov goes next door. Chaim, come to the cheder. And the mommy says, no, I'm not letting him go. We're too afraid of the bear. Maybe the bear is going to eat him up. Let's stay home. Well, the Baal Shem Tov says to the mommies, to Baal's mommy, look, I'm going to take care of the Kinalach. Nothing is going to happen, because I'm not afraid of the bear. And the mommy says, but how can you let the children go out in the forest if there's bears there? And the Baal Shem Tov says, you know what? Never was such a bear in the forest. And all of a sudden comes this bear. And you know what he's doing? He's stopping the Kinalach from going to learn Torah the whole day. Now, do we ever let things stop us from learning Torah? Especially a bear. Hashem wants us to go learn, and a bear says, stay home. Who is stronger, Hashem or a bear?
Hashem.
Now, the Baal Shem Tov also knew Hasidus, and he knows that if something is trying to stop you from doing Torah mitzvahs, it's not a bear at all. You know what it is? It's the Yetzer Hara. The Baal Shem Tov knew that inside of this bear is the Yetzer Hara. Because the whole reason of the bear is to stop the kiddies from doing the halakha thing that they did every day before that, is to go learn Torah and yeshiva. Because that's the most halakha thing in the whole world,
It says the whole world is here because of the Kindleks' words that they say in the yeshiva, learning Torah and davening. Shh. And so he went to Chaim's house and Shmuley's house and Beryl's house and Gershon's house, and he told the mommies, "Don't worry, I'll take care of the Kindleks." And they went with the Baal Shem Tov again. They were singing, and they were happy and saying Baruch Hashem. And the bear was looking from the forest, and he couldn't stand it. He was so angry. "I thought those children would stay home, and they would not go to yeshiva anymore. And now they're going again to yeshiva. I'm very upset. Today I'm going to be so scary. I'll stop them. And they'll never go to yeshiva. I'm going to make myself scarier than before even." And so, kiddies, the bear was waiting on the way home, and he was thinking how to make the kids so scared. And this time he wasn't going to growl from far away. He was going to jump out suddenly and start chasing them and even show them the big teeth in his mouth, sticking out his tongue with red eyes, and maybe Chas Shalom even try to bite somebody on the foot. Chas Shalom. Or bite them on the leg, or scratch, Chas V'Shalom. And that way the kids would never go to cheder, they would stay home, and that way there wouldn't be no light, no singing in Gan Eden, and the Yitzhara could sleep whenever he wants, and take his nap. Well, Kindleks, the kids were coming home with the Baal Shem Tov, and they were going down the road, and the bear was hiding behind one of the big trees, ready to jump out and scare them. But the Baal Shem Tov was a Halakha Tzaddik, and he could feel that something is going to happen. Something not good is going to happen. Some trouble against Hashem. And right away the Baal Shem Tov saw lying in the forest a big stick that broke off from a tree, a big branch. And he goes and picks up the big stick. And the kids say, "How come, Rabbi Yisrael, if you're taking the big stick?" He says, "You'll see why, Kindleks. Now remember, if anything scary happens, remember what my tati told me. Don't be afraid of anything, only Hashem. Nothing to be afraid of in the world. And all you gotta do, stay close to me, and don't be afraid, and I'll take care of you." And they start walking down the road. All of a sudden, the big bear comes out of the tree. And he starts to run towards the kids. And they got scared, but they remember what the Baal Shem Tov said. And the Baal Shem Tov took the stick. And the bear came to the Baal Shem Tov. He thought that he was going to run away and be scared also. And the Baal Shem Tov says, "I know who you are. You're the Yetzer Hara." And he took the stick and gave him a big slap of some cock. And he gave him clap, and he gave him patch, good patch, and good clap. And the bear ran away from the Baal Shem Tov back into the forest. He never bothered the Kindleks anymore, and he went on going to cheder, singing Baruch Hashem and singing Nigunim and being the simcha and being feile. Then on. The Kindleks at first, the whole world was full of water. Only water. Nothing else. Just water around the whole world. There was no dry land at all. That was on the first day of the world. And that was also on the second day of the world. And now, the third day of the world, this is what Hashem did. Hashem took the water, and he said, all the water should gather together into one place. And he pushed over all the oceans, And he pushed over all the water, that it should be into one place. And then Hashem brought up from the bottom, because on the bottom was all the dirt, and Hashem brought it up higher than the water, and he made it to be dry land. And this was a Nes. Because if you take a cup of water, and you put a handful of dirt into the cup of water, where is the dirt going to go? On the top or the bottom? It's going to go to the bottom, because dirt is heavier than water. It's going to sink. So when Hashem made the world, all the dirt was on the bottom, and all the water was on the top. But Hashem knew that people and animals are not going to live underwater. Are we going to be underwater and travel around in submarines? And have fish swimming around the classroom? No. And the safer would just float away. Hashem said there has to be dry land. Because people and animals and plants are going to be on dry land. So Hashem brought up the dry land to be higher than the water. Now, because of this nest, we say a bracha in the morning. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Reika Haaretz Al Hamayim. Hashem spreads out the land over the water, on top of the water, which was a nest. Now, the dry land was very happy. Oh, we get to come up and be on top, and we get to be dry. Ah, machaye, it feels so good in the sun. It's so nice to be dry land. But the water was very upset. Hey, wait a minute! We have to be pushed into this squishy place? No fair. Before, we were spread out in the whole world. We can go wherever we want to. The water was all over the place. And the whole world was covered with water. Wherever the water wants to go, we can go. Machaya, the whole world. All of a sudden, hey, we have to be pushed over, and we have to be squished, and the dry land has to be over there. And now we can't go wherever we want. No fair. We want to be again in the whole world. And so the water decided it's going to make a big flood over the dry land, and it's going to be all again water. Let's go back and make a big flood over the dry land, and let's just go all over like we were before. We don't want to be squished into one place. And so the water started to make a big wave. Whoever saw a big wave? And the water made a big wave, and it's going to make a big flood over the land. And all of a sudden, on the side of the land, the little pieces of sand, whoever saw the beach by the ocean, is little pieces of sand, the little pieces of sand started to get afraid. Aye. Look, it's coming a big wave from the ocean, and it's going to make a big flood on us. It's such a big wave, and we're so tiny, we're so small. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to get washed away. Now, over there was a very smart piece of sand. A little tiny piece of sand, but he was very smart. And he says to the other pieces of sand, you don't have to be afraid of the big wave. And the other pieces of sand said, why not? We're little tiny sands, and it's a big wave. We're afraid. It's going to wash us away. And the smart sand said, look, if we're by ourselves, and we're little teeny weeny tiny pieces of sand, then we could be afraid. But are we by ourselves, or we're together with all the other pieces of sand? Are they alone? Is every sand alone, or is it together with other pieces of sand? It's together with other pieces of sand. So the smart sand said, look, as long as we're all sticking together, and we're all together, then we're not going to be by ourselves. And all of us pieces of sand can be able to push away the wave, and it's going to go away, and won't make a flood. But of course, if we're by ourselves, we couldn't do that. By ourselves, we're not strong. When we're all together, we could be stronger than the big wave. So
So just stick together and hold tight. And all the sins got together very close, and they felt very good that they were all together. And the big wave crashed by the side of the sand, and the big wave said, hey, here we come, the water is coming to make a big flood. And the sand stuck together, and the water washed over, but the little sands pushed away the big wave back into the ocean. Hey, look, we stuck together, we pushed away the big wave. Well, the water said, we're going to try again. We're not going to give up. And the water made another wave, a big wave, and it crashes on the sand, and the sand stuck together, and they pushed the wave back. Now, Kindalach, to this day, if you go to the ocean, and you look closely, you're going to see the same thing happening. The water still tries to get over the land, and the little pieces of sand push away the water back into the ocean. It happens every day, and it happens every hour and every minute. The water tries to go over the land, and the little pieces of sand push away the water. Now, by the way, it's coming up a parsha, Nitzavim, and I'm going to repeat this over there, but I'll do it over here also. Nitzavim means standing together. Before Rosh Hashanah, all Jews stand together. Now, a yid is like a little piece of sand. By himself, he's like a little piece of sand. And you know who is the big wave who tries to wipe out and wash away the piece of sand? Who is the big troublemaker who tries to come against the Yidden and Chas v'Shalom do things to get rid of Yidden? The Yetzirah is like a big wave. Now, if the Yetzirah comes and the Yid is by himself, it's a scary thing. I have a big Yetzirah and I'm a little Yid. What am I going to do? What is the Eitzah? What can a Jew do? If he's together with other Yidden, if he's together with other Jews together, davening together and learning together and doing mitzvahs together and having a lot of Ahavas Israel, is a Yid going to be afraid of the Yetzirah? Is the Yetzirah going to do anything to a Yid if he's together with all of his friends and other Yidden? The Yetzirah can't do anything. The Yetzirah is going to come, and the Yid is going to push him back, and the Yetzirah goes away, and goodbye, Charlie, go eat the barley. That's it. If Chas v'Shalom, the Yid is by himself, and he's not together with other Yidden, so then the Yetzirah, Chas v'Shalom, might make some trouble. But if the Yid has Av Yisrael, and he has his friends, and he has other Yidden to be with him, then he doesn't have to be afraid of the Yetzirah, and the Yetzirah is not going to make him any trouble.